Hello and welcome. This is Heavy Business. I'm Malia.
And I'm Corey.
And tonight it's just us. And I thought it would be good.
And the voices in our heads.
And the voices in our heads, yes. I thought it would be a good idea to just, especially since you're starting to write these articles on the blog, occasionally to have a podcast with just us talking about the blog articles and what's going on in the music scene. So yeah, we're going to talk today about exclusive premieres on music sites and why they are a dying practice, I should say. So we'll dive in here. The blog post that you wrote, Corey, it's really thorough, and it goes through, let's see, six reasons why websites are not doing exclusive premieres so much anymore. So before we dive into that, can you explain what is an exclusive premiere and why was it a strategy in the past?
So an exclusive premiere is when you upload a video to your YouTube, you create a unlisted link, different from a private link that people have to have a password to access, but you create an unlisted link and then you give it to one of the music journalism websites for them to then publish, hopefully, you know, a decent article and then your link. And the only way people can really access that link is to go to their website first. Yes, people can then copy and paste it and go do whatever with it. But in the past, that is typically what an exclusive premiere is. They can also be done with Bandcamp embeds that are specifically tailored to that website, things like that, where your music is being published on one specific site first before anywhere else.
Right. And I guess from my perspective as a musician, I don't understand why that would ever be a desirable situation. So why has it been a strategy in the past?
They used to perform pretty well. And then also people like to have that kind of box checked on their resume of, we've been featured at XYZ site and it's a big site. So there, it's on our resume. We've been on their website. They've said good things about us. And so it generally just kind of filled that little checkbox on their resume. Even if they didn't always perform well, you still kind of had that on your resume. But in the past, they used to still perform a lot better than they do now.
So it kind of was like a way to get guaranteed coverage on maybe a bigger site, hopefully. And that was the primary motivator. And they used to perform better, as you said.
They used to perform better. It was guaranteed coverage on a bigger site. And then you also had those bragging rights of being on that bigger site.
Yeah, totally. So what has happened that has kind of made them a less desirable strategy now?
The culture around metal blogs and metal websites has changed. People aren't necessarily going there to discover small bands specifically. The posts themselves kind of switch to being an okay or a good performing type of post to one that was one of the least performing or least well performing posts on the site. Just because the attitudes of people have changed and the way that they consume media has changed. And yeah, so just those posts don't necessarily perform as well for those sites anymore. And that's why a lot of the sites just flat out aren't doing them anymore, because they don't really serve the site if the post isn't going to perform well. And say it's a really big band and the site would want to do the exclusive premiere because it would benefit the site. Well, then it's not going to benefit the band, because the band, if they're a big band that would drive a lot of traffic to the site, they don't need to do a premiere.
Right. Which kind of, I guess, yeah, that makes sense. And then if we move into talking about like why it doesn't seem like a good strategy, it's so limiting, right? Like you don't, it's kind of like you said, people could only listen to the song by going to that site, and people like to listen on whatever platforms they like to listen to. Now they have their preferred platforms where they want to find it, and it's more beneficial to be present on everything at once so that everybody can view it or listen to it where they want to.
Exactly. And then also, say you do everything you can to drive traffic to that site to get people to listen to your song. Say you post on Facebook, you post on Instagram, you send out a newsletter. These are all things that all of you should be doing anyway when you have a new song out. You post everywhere, you send out your newsletter, you try to get a hold of all of your fans and let them know that there is a new song. Only a fraction of your audience is going to see each and every one of those. So you post on Facebook, a fraction of that audience is going to see. You post on Instagram, a fraction of that audience is going to see. You send out a newsletter, only a fraction of that audience is going to open the newsletter. Hopefully it's a big fraction, but still, even if it's, say it's 60%, which is a really good number for an email newsletter, that's still 40% of your audience that isn't getting the news. Because that's not where they're looking for it. They may be looking for a Spotify alert, a YouTube alert, an alert on Apple, on Amazon Music, wherever it is that they're consuming, they're going to be looking for alerts there and not necessarily where you're posting them. And if you only have it on the website, then all of those places where they could be getting those alerts, they're not.
And then you mentioned how in the article that it has an impact on the recommendation algorithms.
It does.
So can you go into a little bit of detail on that?
Yeah, of course. Let's take YouTube as an example. Let's say you put your video on YouTube, you give somebody an unlisted link and they put it on their website and your video is on their website for everybody to watch. YouTube doesn't like that. They want people on YouTube. They don't want people on somebody else's website watching YouTube videos. They want people on YouTube watching YouTube videos so that they will continue to watch the YouTube videos and live on that site. So when you do that, those notifications that I just mentioned, they go away. And the algorithm of them recommending your music to people who might like it, let's say they're not a subscriber and they wouldn't get a notification, but they're really known for loving your genre. And you know, those like top recommended videos that if you're watching on a desktop or right along the top bar, you're not going to be there. And I can tell you right now, I have found so many bands, management clients included, on my roster that way. Bands that, I'm actively trying to sign to a label, I've found via that way. So you want those notifications because you want people who might like your music to click on it. And if you give up that algorithmic support to some other site, it's going to cost you more in the long run. And it's just overall, with the way the algorithms work now, is not the best strategy. I do have caveats on this. We can get into them later, but yeah, it's not the best strategy right now for most bands to do that.
Well, since we're on the topic, why don't we get into the caveats right now?
So the caveats would be, if you are premiering one on your own channel, none of these premieres apply to the premiere function that is on YouTube. You should always do that. You should, or most of the time you should do that, unless you have some big secret drop or something like that. You should be premiering on your own channel. That way people can, you know, line up, come hang out. There's that live chat feature, which you should also be in to interact with your fans. It's a great function. The other caveat is there are a couple of YouTube channels that you can premiere your video on that will do really well, that have big audiences, that do still get a lot of views. They're very niche. They're very genre specific. So if you're outside that genre, it's not going to work. And you should still be trying to build your own YouTube channel at the same time. So, and you really, really need to look at what the view counts are on all of those channels. Because if you say you know of one that's really popular or was really popular, but now they're only getting 140 views, you can get 140 views on your own, even if you have no subscribers. You'll get there. If they have 300,000 views, you may want to consider it, but probably only for the first one. And then you should be building your own YouTube channel. Those are my caveats to premieres. They do work sometimes on YouTube channels, and you should always, always, always do a premiere, use the premiere function on your YouTube channel.
Right. And I was going to ask about those YouTube channels, because I know there's like some black metal ones, there's some like very very niche ones, like you said.
There's some black metal ones, there's some deathcore, really slammy ones, and everybody knows exactly who I'm talking about when I say that they do still perform pretty well. But there's some ones that they were popular 5 years ago and they still have a big subscriber count, but if you go and look at their videos, it's 100, 200 views, and the numbers don't add up. You can get 200 views on your own. You can get 500 views on your own. You don't need to give up your revenue or your the community building aspect of your music to someone else. Because the other thing is, say you do premiere on one of those channels, and then you do your next video on that channel, and your next video, and your next video, and say you're five videos deep, you haven't built your own YouTube channel. And then you try to go get signed to a label, and you're like, my videos have all these views. No, your videos don't have all of those views. That channel has all of those views. Those subscribers don't belong to you. They belong to that channel. Those people weren't tuning in for you. They were tuning in for what that channel was featuring. So even if those videos do perform well on those channels, you still need to put the effort into building your own.
Yeah, I mean, and there is this element to it about the analytics that you don't have access to if
Nope.
it's on someone else's channel, right?
Yeah. And I had someone comment the other day that they premiere all of their videos on another channel and they don't monetize anything that's on their channel because, why make anybody watch an ad to listen to their music? That's not right. Those channels are monetized. So your fans are still watching the ads, only you're not getting the revenue. And you're
Yeah.
not getting the credit for all of those views because those subscribers w weren't necessarily turned in, tuned into you. They are just there for the channel.
Yeah. Oh, I just had a mind my mind go blank. I was gonna say, oh. So when bands get signed, a lot of times their music videos start getting premiered on the label's YouTube channel. What are your thoughts on that? Should bands be trying to keep their videos on their own channel, or does it depend on the label?
Depends on the label and it depends on the contract. I work for a label and we have both kinds of contracts. It depends on the size of the audience. So say we sign a big, big band and their audience on YouTube, they've been around for 15 years and their audience on YouTube is really big, but they're trusting us with their music. They would still premiere on their own channel. Their audience is going to be bigger than ours. Their audience is established, and that's okay. The label still does monetize on their behalf for those videos that are posted on their channels. Now, if it's a small band that doesn't have very many subscribers, maybe they've put out one album and really caught the label's eye, even if they are very small, then you're going to want to go with who has the bigger audience, and that's going to be the label.
That's a good point. And then the way that you can always build some things that I've seen is bands that are on major labels, for example, their official music videos will come out on the label's channel, but then they'll have all kinds of behind the scenes content that they release on their own channel that can help grow their base there too.
Exactly. They can do that. They can have a podcast that they then cross post to YouTube. They could do playthroughs. They could do all sorts of stuff. Matt from Trivium, he is a really good example of how to grow your audience digitally, even when you're on a major label, because he does his live streams of his shows. He does his Twitch streaming. Like, there's a lot that he does to continue to build his audience, even though he's on a major label.
Yeah, so it's all about like thinking and considering the benefits to every option and making an informed decision about what will benefit you the best. It just seems like exclusive premieres are not so much of a benefit now. And I will say, like, my My band did our album premiere on Decibel magazine, and I've set up some other premieres on Decibel, and I don't think they're even making them exclusive anymore. So
No, most of the reputable sites have stepped away from exclusive premieres or demanding exclusivity, because they understand. A lot of the big ones that we work with when we do PR, Decibel is a good example. Metal Injection is another one. They'll be like, "Yeah, we'll throw up the song. We'll host the video for you." But they're not asking it to be 100% exclusive because they know that that doesn't serve the band in the end.
yeah, it's just like keeping in mind what's changing in the promotional strategies. Is there anything else that sticks out to you in the last year that has been changing, with promotional strategies that people should keep in mind?
So let's say you really, 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 really want to do a premiere on a bigger website and they are demanding exclusivity. Then I would say that in order for them to get that exclusivity, they need to post on their socials. They need to actually share your music beyond their website because then you might actually get some value out of it. There are, one of the many hats that I work is in journalism, and we do premieres for bands. When I personally set them up, I never expect them to be exclusive. But they do get set up on our website. We share everything on our socials, though. And that is a huge, huge benefit to making sure that your music reaches as many people as possible. Now, again, we usually don't demand that they be 100% exclusive to us. So, but sometimes it's a courtesy. Bands are like, no, we'll give it to you exclusively. And we always, either way, make sure to share it on our social media. So that is one thing that bands really should consider is when you do get these major placements, if you're out there getting them on your own, get the sites to share them on their social media if you're giving them the bone of exclusivity. The other thing is we've gone into a lot of what not to do and what to do instead of a premiere is to first do the premiere on your own YouTube, like we talked about. And second, then go out with a press release. The moment your video is live on YouTube, go out with the press release and get as much news coverage as you can. If you're doing this DIY, that means you are emailing all of these websites, "Hey, we put out a new song. Here's our press release. Please publish the news." Or if you have PR, then obviously we're doing the heavy lifting for you on all of that because we do all of that anyway.
Yes, and just make sure you tell your PR what time everything is happening.
Yes. Make sure to tell us what time it's happening. Actually schedule it. That's the best thing you can do is to go in and schedule. Don't sit there and try to manually do it. Schedule the thing for 9 a.m. or whatever time it is you're doing it, and make sure that your PR has the link ahead of time so we can push send the moment that it goes out.
Awesome. If anybody listening has any thoughts on this topic or wants us to continue this topic, has any questions about it, let us know in our comments, in our DMs. But yeah, Corey, thanks for hanging out with me tonight. And everyone listening, thank you for listening. We're gonna wrap this up. And you know what to do. Until next time, make like a bull and throw those horns up.
If you enjoyed this podcast, please help spread the word by following or subscribing to us, recommending it to your friends, or leaving us a review on your platform of choice. Thank you for listening to Heavy Business, brought to you by C-Squared Music.